All right, man, and welcome to another exciting episode of Sports Biz, an insight into the business world of pro sports. I hope everybody's doing well. You're with your favorite host, Zila, aka Chester Mbekela. And today we've actually got a very interesting episode. We've got a guest on our show. And make sure you stick around for that. She works in the sports industry. And it's not a player. It's not a coach, not an exec. You know, what I like to do is I like to bring, you know, people onto the show from basically from the whole ecosystem of professional sports. And the lady who's coming onto the show, she's got a very interesting story on how she got her start in the sports biz. Make sure you stick around for that. All right. I'll see you guys after the break. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you think you might be feeling depressed, stressed, anxious, or overwhelmed, BetterHelp is here to help. Right. I know, you know, from my personal experience, man, when I was an athlete, when I was a player, you know, there'd be times I would go through, you know, feelings of like stress and anxiety, you know, stress to perform, you know, stress to play well, to make sure you play for that next contract. And, you know, I really wish that I had had, you know, certain like avenues to really vent and get out these frustrations and just have an objective party to talk to, right? BetterHelp, man, it's a platform that offers licensed therapists who are trained to listen and help you through, you know, your tough time or whatever you're going through. Now, you're able to talk to your therapist in private, in an online environment at your convenience. So it's literally therapy wherever you may be, you know. There's a broad range of expertise in BetterHelp's 20,000 plus therapists network that gives you access to help that may not be available in your area. You just fill out a questionnaire to help assess your specific needs, and then you get matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. Imagine that, under 48 hours. Then you schedule a secure video and phone sessions, and then plus you can exchange unlimited messages with your therapist, and everything you share is 100% and completely confidential, right? What I've found helpful, man, with using a platform like BetterHelp, again, you know, is just their response time, that if you're going through something, you're able to talk with your therapist and share it right there and then, you know. My therapist, Mark, is so efficient, and I'm really happy that I'm working with him. All right, and then you can actually also request a new therapist at no additional charge anytime if the current therapist that you matched with doesn't work out for you. All right, so you don't need to stress and feel like you're trapped with one therapist. You can actually request to change. So, join the 2 million plus people who have taken charge of their mental health with an experienced BetterHelp therapist. Special offer to Sports Biz from an Agent's Perspective podcast listeners. So you get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/KZMbekela. All right, that's better, HELP.com/KZMBEKELA Mbekela. Thanks again to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode.
Hey, Pauline.
How are you? So, how are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm all right. Good to finally connect. I was getting worried you were not going to come through.
No, I just had, I was trying to connect to my laptop, but then it was giving me, like, LinkedIn was giving me a hard time in terms of trusted chats and everything, so I noticed it would take some time. So I decided to use my
Yeah, I actually sent you a message on your email and on your LinkedIn that you can actually just use your smartphone for recording. You don't have to use a laptop, because sometimes, you know, when I try connect with people on the podcast, they struggle when they use their laptops. Yeah, so the smartphone is always the better option.
That's true. I just opted to use my tab instead.
Okay. All right. Okay, so welcome to the podcast, and thank you so much for agreeing to be, you're actually our first guest for 2024. So thank you for agreeing to do this.
My pleasure.
Yeah. Is it too late? Yeah, is it too late to say Happy New Year?
Pardon?
Is it too late to say Happy New Year?
No, it is on top of New Year.
Okay. All right. Okay. So as I said, I don't want to keep you too long. I'm sure you're a very busy lady. And all I ask is about maybe between 25, 30, 35 minutes tops. All right?
Okay.
Is that cool? Okay. Thank you. Okay.
That's okay.
All right. Okay. So to start off with, could you please just give a brief self-introduction of yourself?
Okay. My name is Pauline Banza. And I'm a sports lawyer. I've worked with different law firms in the sports sector, and I've acquired experience in different laws that apply to sports. Besides that, I'm also more like into social, should I say social media or something? But basically, I wouldn't call it social media, but I'd say I do write articles, which I share on my social media platforms, but I write them on my newsletter, which is on three different platforms, like LinkedIn, Medium, and Substack, yeah, which I do share on social media. I think that's why I say also into social media.
Okay. All right. Pauline, could you please speak up just a little bit? Because it's a bit low. Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. So let's take down a trip, a trip down memory lane. As you said, you're a sports lawyer, so you're in the sporting industry. Can you just tell us a little bit about your child? You're from Uganda, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Can you just tell us a little bit about your childhood, growing up in Uganda?
Well, I wouldn't really say a lot about it because I don't know, maybe, not everyone grows up the same way.
Yes.
And the environment's different. Mm. People are different. Mm. Everything is different.
Yeah.
But what I would say about my childhood here, I think it's pretty interesting that the things that I experienced when we were young are things that almost every African child goes through. It's just that we are living in different environments with different people. But some of the things, if not most, are actually the same. Yeah. And I would say I've seen pretty a lot of things that would be maybe shocking, surprising, interesting.
Yes. Mm.
Yeah, both in sports and outside sports. Yeah, okay. And I think I had an interesting childhood.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Okay, no, fair enough. Okay, so tell me, what kind of sports were you interested in as a kid? Because when you're a child, you take up different interests. So for you, which sport interested you the most when you were a child?
Firstly, the thing is, I think when I was growing up, I think between the ages of maybe 3 to 12 or something like that.
Yeah.
Actually 10 or 11. It's not that I actually had a very specific sport that I liked.
Okay.
But because I never really played a lot of sports. We just played usual games of chasing each other, those kinds of things. But then my sister and I loved football. We liked football, and that's when I started supporting a football club, which I've been supporting since I was here. And that's because we had an uncle who was interested in football. And we also picked up interest in my grandpa too. But besides that, when I was in school, I was this kind of kid that would be like, you're in school and the teachers look at you to have potential. So they want to fix you in each and every single game that is there. So, and also because if you're coming from a background whereby everybody knows your family or something like that, and they know you have potential, there is that thing they're going to. I'm sure at least in African child has gone through that. They're going to try to fix you every single game to a point that you lack everything and you have no problem. Though at the point you just feel like you're a bit nuts. So I'd say I actually played volleyball, I played cricket,
okay.
I played netball, I played, what else did I play? Yeah, those. I remember I was fixing the teams. I was taken for practice and training, and I was like, oh wow, wow. And I'm like, so, but then for volleyball and actually all of them, I wasn't really so good at it because most of them needed you to have a direction and a focus. And whereas I'm right-handed, most of my things would go to the left.
Oh.
Yeah, so it would look like I'm not focusing or something. But it wasn't bad.
Mm-hmm.
But then after that, I developed a very good interest in golf, which I started playing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then also chess. Yeah, those are the games that I would comfortably play even now if I'm called to play.
Okay.
Basically that, yeah.
I see. All right. And then, like, at what stage would you say you knew that you were interested in one day maybe working within the sporting environment? Or was it a sense of you just wanted to be a lawyer? Like, tell me about your journey now going into the law field, you know, from when you decided to study law and just going forward with it.
Oh, well, the thing about sports law is actually very, very weird. I think you can tell people this, they'll know with it. So the thing is, firstly, it's when I was growing up, I knew I wanted to become a doctor.
Can you speak up? Please speak up.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yes, so the thing is, when I was growing up, I knew I wanted to become a doctor. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
To take up my father's footsteps. But then I realized, I'm like, nah, this kind of stress is not the kind of thing that I want to be going through. And it's not that, it's only those courses that have stress. Every single course has stress, even at.
Mm-hmm.
But also because I wasn't so good at other science subjects apart from biology. So,
okay.
Like, and I knew if it's not being a doctor, it's being a lawyer. At one point, I think I ever got a delusional dream of being an engineer.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, but so I went to university and I filled out to study law. And while you fill out, you definitely also have other courses that you may have into consideration. But for me, it's not that I actually considered them. I just filled them to just like fill out the form, you understand?
Mm.
Because if I had an option, I would have just put law on every single one of the spaces. So I filled law, I entered law school, I passed my interviews, entered law school, and we're doing that's 4 years. And then I wasn't so sure that it's not that I was so sure of what I wanted to practice. Because firstly, is that I was good at criminal law. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
From the time I started studying it, I was good at it. Criminal law, liability. Also, when you look at evidence on the criminal part, evidence law, I was good at it. So I was like, maybe I should take it up. But then I was not really sure about it. So I'm like, okay. Then at some point, because I started to, during my vacation, I started to work at a policy think tank organization. I started to think maybe I should consider doing refugee law. But I wasn't really sure. And then at another point, I'm like, maybe I should think about petroleum and mining and everything.
Okay.
But then I'm not really sure I wanted to do it. So when it came to time for me to choose the course of what I wanted to do, funny enough, all the interests that I had before refugee law petroleum, I didn't even do any of those courses. I remember I sat in the petroleum class, I think two or once, and I was like, no, I'm not doing this. I think because my lecture wasn't really good, but I acquired some knowledge. Yeah, I actually acquired knowledge, though I never bother to go sit for the exam or do the assessments or anything. But while at that, I also got interested in health and the law. I actually did the course, but I didn't get that kind of interest. It didn't feel like my passion. But then looking at how I was into football, and I used to follow every single football related thing. And like I say, I often used to ask myself, how do these people actually run the game? Like, how do they run? Do they have regulations? Do they have, like, how do they settle disputes? And then, you know, you're going to be there and you're going to be hearing news like Mendy is facing discharges and everything. And then you're going to be hearing, so-and-so is facing succession charges, evading test says, and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
I always had that, maybe, should I call it talent interest? So over time, I was like, I think this is something that I want to do. I actually had a passion for it, though I never really realized it. So the funny bit is that course, I wanted to study it, but it was colliding with health and the law.
Okay.
I heard that the law was quite a limited. That it's not a very wide course. Yeah. So
okay.
I was like, what do I do? So I was like, let me just go attend health and the law. But the health and the law, one of the reasons I was attending it is because there is this whole thing of students at campus always saying, oh, this lecturer always gives marks. This lecturer is not really hard.
Yeah.
And everything. So there's also that factor. So I attended the class. But I actually only attended, I think, 3 classes. I did the exam, I passed it, but it wasn't really something I was interested in. So after I attended those classes, luckily, is that the sports course, I've not just started, sports law, I've not just started having the classes. So once I was coming from the class, I was like, I'm going to attend the class. So I entered the class, and actually the lecturer was lecturing the course, was also lecturing another course. And he was my friend, like close to my friend, like, you know, when you're friends with a lecturer because class, you're active in class, that kind of thing. So I started the course, I was actually very, very interested. I didn't more interested in the people who are originally in the class. So I did the exam actually among the best. I had a B. Yeah, because there was only one A and about 5 B's, and I had a B. I also did my dissertation.
Okay.
And a sports law, I was really pretty interested in the course. So I was like, this is actually what I want to pursue because sports law is not just one single kind of law.
You're
looking at a whole, you're looking at a combination of laws, you're looking at laws that apply to sports law. And the fact that I've done some of the laws that I actually apply, like IP, I was really, really happy. And I was like, I think I'm actually in the best place. Yeah, so I did the course and I passed it. I was happy. I also practiced after my dissertation, which I also passed with a B.
Okay.
Though I expected to have an A or something like that, but nevertheless, I was actually grateful for it. So I was like, yeah, I actually want to do this. So yeah, and that's how I started to apply to law firms I had. Sports law. During my first internship, I was basically looking at intellectual property,
okay,
which actually helped me when it came to apply to sports when I actually started working in sports fraternity.
I see. Okay. All right. And then, so tell me, I'm operating as a sports lawyer. I know you're saying you're focusing on IP and everything, but do you broker deals? Like, do you represent players you know, and try to get them into teams, or are you just focusing on the contractual parts like an IP and stuff?
Well, I can say that I'm only focusing on intellectual property.
Okay.
And I'm not representing anybody. So one thing is, for the places that I've worked in,
mm-hmm.
it's basically been employment.
Okay.
And intellectual property.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also, I'm kind of forgetting what I want to say. It's intellectual property, employment, compliance.
Okay.
And then, yeah. So that employment more, basically that's labor. And then of course, contracts. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Contracts. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I also have keen interest in regulatory and policy, which I think I really want to take on my next step. You know, it's one thing to it's good to niche down, but it's also good to have knowledge in every single thing.
That's true.
That you can. Mm. Yeah, so it's good to be a jack of all trades,
yeah.
Even if you may have a niche or something. Mm. Yeah.
Okay. And most importantly, Pauline, I mean, you've just explained your journey. It sounds amazing. It sounds like you were, you know, you were very strategic, you know, in making your decisions into, you know, which path you wanted to take. Most important question, do you enjoy what you do?
Actually, that's a very, very important question.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer to that is yes. I actually do enjoy it a lot.
Okay. What do you enjoy about it?
Pardon?
What do you enjoy about, you know, this field that you're working in as a sports lawyer? Like, what would you say are the top three things?
Well, it's a lot. For a person that has passion, for example, in football, for me, you know, like, I should say it's one of the greatest, if not the greatest sports in the world.
It is. If you look at
how it's, how the kind of amount of money that it's put in and everything, mm-hmm. it's actually the greatest. So there are lots of things that go down in the football sector, and for me, why I say that I love it is because you get to, for example, from the work that I've done, I can't say fight for rights,
mm-hmm.
but fight for the right thing, maybe,
mm-hmm.
because, for example, a football club is going to want to transfer any player from a different country. And before they actually register the player, or if everything goes down, they have to look at if their international transfer certificate is valid, if it's existent, all the integrity that go into that. But then a club is going to decide to do things the wrong way, or to kind of delay things. This is going to be very bad on the player side, because
the player
at that point is already going to the country where they're going to play, and they're actually preparing to start playing for the club. But then, towards the closure of registration of the players, or even at a deadline date, the club will be like, oh, we cannot take you on because your ITC is not ready.
Yes.
And even if we've signed a contract with you, we cannot take you on.
Mm.
Ideally, that's not the right thing to do. And no, one of the things that I appreciate people about is that under the RSCP, they actually do put that in consideration, and they know that it's very capable of happening. So they have a rule that goes on. So if you're a person that is for the player, which I must say, I've been for players, it's only one serving for a club. It's something that I look at and you like. Because that's initially like an employment issue, though. It's not that you're going to apply the labor laws depending on the kind of facts that you have. But looking at it, you'd be wondering why an entity would want to do that just to facilitate the care. You understand?
Yeah.
And for me, I feel like that's a very good thing. Like, I like to do that. I like to create change, should I say, or put a standard that you cannot do this, even if you feel like you have the power to, because it's not right, that kind of thing. I don't know how to properly put it. So I actually do enjoy what I do, and it's also in different things. Even when it comes to IP, I know one of the things that I looked at was how, should I say, a certain airport decided to get a famous player's photo and use it at the airport without their knowledge. They even used the sponsors and everything. So it's because most of the times it's actually, I don't want to say most of the times, but maybe it would suit it. But clubs tend to want to exploit, even
of course they do. Of course they do. Yeah.
So for me, I feel like these are one of the things that interest me to always want to put things right. Mm. But also because on the other end of it, to see how things are worked out, like for example, sponsorship deals, how like I know how they're cracked up, how they're put together. Mm. How a club gets to take on a sponsorship deal, that kind of thing. So it's actually my interest because these are questions that, for example, I've had a question since we were young.
Yeah.
Like, you know, always seeing the car moving and you're like wondering how they move it around. And then you finally get to see it being moved around. It was actually be a very, for when you finally get to drive or become a driving instructor or learn about a car or something. You feel like, yeah, I'm actually coming to the fulfillment of my questions, of my dreams. So, yeah, I actually do like what I do.
All right. Okay. No, fair enough. And then just a quick question before we talk about the last point. I'm just interested to know, do you collaborate with sports agents, you know, being a sports lawyer, or do you mostly operate like independent from them?
Well, I haven't collaborated with any sports agent.
Okay.
In as much as I also want to become an agent.
Okay.
Yeah. I haven't, but I would actually be very keen to collaborate with them.
Okay.
And I believe for most of the parts of the collaboration will basically be on the on contract terms and maybe
level contract terms. Interpretations, definitely.
But I haven't, though. I would actually have keen interest in joining because it's good to have experience.
No, that's true. Okay, and then the last point, Pauline, I mean, you've been an absolute star in talking about your journey and just talking about your expertise within the industry. Last point before we close off, I mean, I saw on your profile on LinkedIn that you actually had an internship at one of the biggest, you know, sporting clubs in the world, Real Madrid, you know, football club in Spain. Could you tell us a little bit about your experience over there? I mean, I know there are non-disclosures, things you can't disclose about the club, but just like, how can I say, anything that you experienced that you feel was of value, you know, to your career. Like, could you just tell us a little about the things that you enjoyed about, you know, being an intern Real Madrid?
Okay. Mm. Yeah, it was actually a good experience for me. I actually loved it. Mm. And I loved it because I was getting to do the things that I like in the sports world.
Mm-hmm.
And I was actually acquiring knowledge. Yeah. And the working condition was good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't say I had any issues. And for most of the things, for example, the applicability of intellectual property law in football and sports, most of my knowledge, I got an experience I got from working at a club to do with sponsorship and compliance. It was the same place that I got my experience from. So I would actually really, really credit it for that. Mm-hmm. I was actually a very good place to intern. For anyone that gets an opportunity, it's just not thinking. That's a decision that I take without having to think twice.
Yeah.
Because once everyone gets an opportunity, it's a very good opportunity because you get to learn different things.
Yeah.
You get to work with people who you don't even expect to work with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's the most that I can say, but I actually liked it. I can't lie, I actually liked it because I acquired a lot of knowledge from there. And the thing, things better. I know that I know I put them from there. Yeah.
I see. Did you learn a bit of Spanish while you were there?
No, I didn't.
No. Oh my word.
No.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So that is pretty much it in terms of the questions that I wanted to chat to you about on the podcast, Pauline. Thank you so much. And is there anything else you'd like to promote before we end off? Maybe your where people can find you on social media and so forth.
It's maybe my newsletter. I'll just encourage everybody to subscribe to it. It's on my LinkedIn profile. And if anybody is on Jerome or Substock, it's also there. On my LinkedIn, it's under my name, Pauline Bazan. So.
All right. But yeah, like I said, thank you so much, Pauline, for your time. And we'll keep in touch via LinkedIn and we'll have a conversation. So after I edit this episode, it'll drop by Friday. All right, it'll drop by Friday. I'll send you all the links where people will be able to find this episode and so forth. Okay?
Yes, yes, thank you. So
all right. Okay, so have a good day and take care. And remember our sporting slogan, man, for this podcast. We don't only talk sports, we lived it. We effing lived it. We fucking lived it. We'll be right back.